Public Safety Committee will come to order. Members, we have a quorum. Representative Simon, would you move the minutes of April 2nd?
Mr. Chair, I move approval of the minutes of April 2nd.
Any discussion on those minutes? All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? That motion prevails. Just before we start our one bill today, just an announcement of what's going on. Tomorrow we will not meet. I will be having a conversation with the DFL members of this committee to go over the spreadsheet and the budget. And Representative Cornish, I don't know how you want to handle it. In the past, I used to just do it with Representative Smith, but I'm happy to meet with your whole caucus too and go over the spreadsheet and whatever budget language we have in the budget document. But it's up to you. You can tell me later if you'd like. But tomorrow, during this time frame, we have everything together. Hopefully, we'll do that.
Good.
Okay. And then next week, Tuesday, we'll vote on the budget. And Wednesday, we'll have one final hearing. I did say and asked the Office of Justice Programs to give us an overview. And I'm blanking on the name of what it is. It's Violent Crime Coordinating Councils, which used to be the Gang and Drug Strike Task Forces. And so they're spread out all over the state, and as you know, there was major controversy here some years back with the Metro Gang Strike Force, and less controversy now, but there has still been some problems that, and we're going to have an update on how that's going and making sure that everything we put into statute is being followed and all of those programs are working appropriately, and that'll be it for us. Okay? Today, one bill was pulled from the agenda, which is Representative Lesch's bill on the St. Paul project, the multipurpose regional training and public safety facility. Talk to the chair of the Capital Investment Committee. We'll be hearing that for next year's bonding bill. So with that, we have one bill. Representative Carlson, are you ready? So as the I'm not sure how this works. As the ex officio, can you actually move a bill?
No, I can't, Mr. Chairman. But you know, just a little. Being I'm the only bill, just a little side comment. The last time I sat in on one of your meetings, a reporter asked me if I had a vote on your committee. I think you had some bill of controversy before you.
Non-controversial bill.
Twice I sat in, and then the reporter brought me over in the Capitol and said, Representative Carlson, do you have a vote on that committee? Apparently they were counting heads.
Uh-huh.
And so I do not, so I'm ex official, so I think somebody else will need to make the motion.
Okay, who's from Representative Simon, you're from Hennepin County, are you not? Okay, Representative Simon will move House File 557 to pass and be referred to the Committee on Capital Investment. Representative Carlson.
Yes, and Mr. Chairman, good morning to the members of the committee. With me here today is the chair of the Hennepin County Board of Commissioners, Mike Opat, and Captain Jim Bayer from the Hennepin County Sheriff's Office. This is a bonding request for $10.3 million to support a total project cost of $33.75 million for the Hennepin County Sheriff's 9/11 Regional Emergency Communication Center. It should be noted that the legislature provided $4.7 million in 2011's bonding package toward this project. The additional $10.3 million request would represent a total state contribution of $15 million to this $33.75 million project with regional and statewide importance. This project is ready to go. In fact, they have already broken ground. With that, I'll in a moment turn it over to Commissioner Opat, but would like to comment that as a member of the Capital Investment Committee, by the way, that's one where I do have a vote, we did tour the facility, and I don't live too far from it. It's in Golden Valley. I happen to live in Southern Crystal. But where the current facility is, it's a very small footprint. in terms of space that's available. There's the tower there and a relatively small building relative to their current needs, and it's right in the center of a residential area. So the part of this project will be moving it from, the tower will remain, but it'll be moved from its current location to a location in Plymouth. But with that, I'll turn it over to Commissioner Opat. Great.
Commissioner, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members. And thank you, Representative Carlson, for taking the lead to carry this project and bring it to this committee. This Hennepin County Board has this project among our top bonding requests this season, this session, and we don't have too many bonding requests. Historically, we come over for a couple things usually, and we respect that the fact that you have many many deserving requests over here. So this is, I think, our foremost bonding request this session. This facility has regional and statewide significance, and that's why the legislature helped us out with $4.7 million in the 2011 year. We're here again because we're looking for another $10.3 million to get up to $15 million towards the total project cost of nearly $34 million. We've had this project in our capital improvement plan for nearly 10 years. We've been it's been reviewed and recommended by our citizen-led capital budget task force. The county board has had many conversations about this building. We have reduced the overall scope of the building and the project costs while we have tried to ensure that we're building a facility that will meet the needs of our citizens now and provide for some capacity for growth as different communities want to come on board our system. Although we are the local unit of government who's here before you and making the request, it's supported by many more. In fact, we've already received support for this project from some 35 cities across the Hennepin County. I have some slides. Now, I guess I'm not going to get to see them. Okay. So there you can see the cost breakdown of what we've done. There is no land acquisition for this cost. We have we reviewed different sites, some in the county control, some in not, and we decided to locate it on our workhouse property out in Plymouth. We got an old women's facility there that we demolished. And as we've gone to a different way of incarcerating the women over the short term, and we're constructing it there. And so you can see the detailed cost. So we're using an existing communications tower that was mentioned, so we're not going to have to spend any money on that. There's the space program. I know some of these numbers, when I look at them out of context, you know, don't have a lot of meaning, but I can tell you that we are going to do a number of things there. We're going to be able to have the Sheriff's Department outfit many of the patrol vehicles. Captain Bear, I'm sure, will speak to that.
Commissioner, we don't have a handout, so you might, I don't know if that's really very helpful to most of us, but I, if you can maybe say, you know, explain what's on there.
Okay, all right. Well, I'll leave most of the detail to Captain Bear, but the big commitment of square feet is just to the operators answering the 911 calls. And that's spread out over a floor and consoles. There's room for the critical infrastructure in terms of the radio technology and systems. There's some for installation of the radios into the cars, into the squad cars, and into some of the emergency equipment. I'll leave the rest of it to Captain Bear because that's about as far as my knowledge can take me. There's a shot of the site. To the left of that is the men's workhouse building. I spent a decade there as an employee, might add it, but clarify that. So that's an old 1930s building. It's cells and bars, and where we house county residents, as well as we've had a fair number of state folks come and take up beds there. And then in the upper right-hand corner is the work release and women's facility. That's there. So that building you see there is no longer there, and in its stead is the beginnings of the 911 building. We are shovel ready. You want to make sure you know that. We'll waste no time in putting the state dollars to use. The groundbreaking was this past February. There's some folks that were there, Sheriff Stanek and a couple of my colleagues. I didn't make it that day, but turned over the dirt and got the project started. You know, it does have regional and statewide significance, and we have that map will tell you a little bit more about it. It's actually yours.
Yes.
It's your slide. Okay, so I am going to hand off to Captain Jim Baer now to talk about why the regional and statewide significance, just how much we do with our 911 consolidated dispatch facility. And then we can handle questions after Mr. Baer.
Captain Baer, welcome to the committee.
Good morning. Thank you, Commissioner Opat, Mr. Chair, members. Good morning. I'm Captain Jim Baer from the Hennepin County Sheriff's Office. I let you know that Hennepin County runs the largest consolidated dispatch center
Captain,
in the upper Midwest.
Captain, if you can just hang on 1 second. People could turn their cell phones off. It's interrupting with the sound system. Okay, good to go now. Thank you.
Like I said, we run the largest consolidated dispatch center in the upper Midwest. We provide dispatch services for 36 different communities, which are encompassed or served by 20 fire departments and 24 police departments. If you need to call 911 either on a cell phone or from your home phone in those 36 communities, those calls are routed to the sheriff's office. Over the last several years, we handled between 600,000 and 700,000 calls for service a year. Right now, with the Armor radio system, Hennepin County is the backbone for all the other PSAPs that are in Hennepin County. Whether you live in Eden Prairie, Richfield, Minnetonka, or Bloomington, the radio system that they use is all part of the backbone that's housed in our current facility. When you call those places, you may get their dispatchers, but the only way they can send the calls for service to their own public safety people is through the radio system, which is runs through our building. This is of regional importance because if you look at the slide on the projector right now, the yellow part of the state of Minnesota is served by the radio system that runs through our building. So it does have significance to people all the way in southwestern Minnesota. The armor system that is housed in our facility is one of only six in the state. So it serves not only Hennepin County, but southwestern Minnesota. We also are the connection for Ramsey County in the local metro area. Our current facility was built in 1948. And to give you some context, it was built before we had color television. I think we have done an outstanding job of using the resources that we've had in the current facility. It's been added on to several times, but it's reached its capacity, and we really can't do much more with it. An independent consultant last year told us that both practically and operationally, the building is a liability to the county and does not serve the technology we have. With the current technology and investments we've made, the issue has been the cooling system, and we've even had a small fire in our building, so we need to have the space and access to more space for the technology and to ensure its reliability. Ensuring future reliability of the statewide emergency communications network is a critical need for both us and the state and Hennepin County. And with that, I can return it back to Commissioner Opat for any closing comments or questions.
Commissioner?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I wouldn't add much except to say that we would welcome the state, your committee's support. We appreciate the time and effort you put into hearing this. We can certainly provide any more information you might like and stand for any questions today.
Commissioner, I'm sure that when you get to the Capital Investment Committee, they'll ask you more questions about your budget, but maybe you could just, because we couldn't see those numbers very well, so you're asking for $10.3 million in state bonds, but where's the rest of the money coming from?
Well, the rest of the money will be just property tax. There is no other outside.
It's all Hennepin County property tax?
Hennepin County property tax.
And using any of the armor fund money, state armor fund money?
No, not for capital, I don't believe it's.
Okay. Very good. Questions? Representative Kiefer.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Could you just give me a little idea of what 2.5 on the last line, other, what that would be, and
sure.
I'd just like, thank you.
Commissioner Opat.
Kiefer.
Representative Kiefer, Mr. Chair, Mr. Representative Kiefer. The contingency part of the budget is what we have in all of our capital projects. So unforeseen circumstances, if there's changes in equipment costs that happen over the project, it's a standard. The state has a contingency in their in every project they have. It varies in percentage, but it's, you know, roughly, what do we have there? It's, you know, 7% or something like that. So it's a pretty standard figure.
Representative Kiefer.
It's, okay, so it's standard. Do you tend to go into that, or is that just kind of a safety net?
Commissioner Opat.
Representative Kiefer. It really depends on the project, and we try not to. I mean, hopefully we our planning has had us, you know, in a position where it goes back and we don't have to issue debt for it. You know, if it's like, you know, I guess it's like if you remodel your kitchen, you're hoping that you can find the dishwasher that fits in the space. But if you can't, you may need to go buy another one that ends up to be a little bit bigger. In the project setting, require a lot of unique technology like 911. I think sometimes we might start with a little bigger one, but really work on it to keep the contingency down. So, you know, it really varies. On library projects, we've done library projects where we don't touch it. We've done other ones where we encounter maybe it's soil conditions or something on the site. We don't expect any of that here, where we have to use it.
Thanks. Representative Schoen.
Mr. Chair and Captain, can we go back to the map slide with all the colors? You quoted some colors and areas, and I guess I'm trying to have a little bit better understanding the statewide impact, and if you're associating that to the armor system alone, or if you're associating some other work that's done or impact to the state, why it's statewide.
Captain Baer.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Schoen, or Member Schoen, the statewide significance is the PSAPs that are in the yellow area of the state.
In the yellow?
The yellow, southwest corner.
Sure. Okay.
Receive their connectivity to the armor system via our facility. So for their radios to work properly, it comes through our facility. They're hooked into that switch.
Representative Schoen.
Mr. Chair and Captain, how did that come about?
Captain Baer.
That was how it was originally designed when the armor system was put together. It was done by population.
Representative Schoen.
Rather than put everything in one basket in the metro area.
Representative Johnson.
Mr. Chair, this question I have is on this funding issue. Everybody that gets their phone bill, there's a 911 tax. That's designed to go for this, a lot of the infrastructure and for the 911 system, which this is. What are the dollars for this project coming out of that to help pay for this, since that's what it was designed for?
Captain Baer, I don't know if you don't have the answer to that. Is anyone from the armor program here from DPS that could answer that question? Representative Carlson, you would. We could get you, if we don't have anybody, Representative Johnson, we can get that information. It's a good question, but
Mr. Chairman, Representative Johnson, Commissioner. We can certainly work on that. I can tell you, though, it doesn't cover 911. I mean, we have, how many employees do we have, Captain Baer,
Captain Baer?
80.
80 employees, and they're out of the property tax. So, I mean, we're not, you know, it might cover some of the technology costs and for radios or some, offset some of that, and we can certainly get you that, but it is not a self-sufficient system by any means.
Representative Johnson.
I know it's not for the operational. It's for the equipment and the housing, which this is. This doesn't do anything with the employees other than a place for them to work. But that's what that fund was designed for, is the infrastructure for it.
Representative Mullery, did you have this point or something different? Or?
Mr. Chair, I thought that the armor fund covered the equipment, at least part of this, and I don't know, maybe fiscal staff knows that, but
Mr. Walls,
not the shell, maybe.
Mr. Chair, Representative Mullery, we had the department in a meeting yesterday and spoke briefly about the armor system. I don't know it in great detail. They have a base budget of about $60 million a year in emergency communications. Most of that is going for debt retirement of the original build-out, which was done many years ago, which is, for the most part, towers and heavy equipment. There's also some of that money goes for ongoing maintenance and funding of 8 SAF within the Department of Public Safety.
Representative Schoen.
Mr. Chair and Commissioner or Representative Carlson, I mean, you look at, I don't think it works in our county as far as the 911 fees, but that can't even come close to covering the equipment costs that you're going to have to put into this building as a requirement of the state and the armor system that we, I guess the state fairly well mandated. So where, I mean, do you even have a percentage of your revenue from the 911 fees to what you're actually going to need?
Commissioner Opat or Captain Bear?
Or maybe that's a loaded question, Mr. Chair. Because I know it's not going to cover it.
I couldn't answer that.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I mean, one of the reasons we can come over here with a straight face and ask you for $10.3 million and $15 million of a $34 million project, state funding doesn't begin to cover the costs for public safety in Hennepin County. And we readily fund our sheriff's department. We do a very good job funding our sheriff's department. You know, I've never met a sheriff that thinks we do a good enough job funding the sheriff's department, but and that's certainly the case now. But I would tell you that I think we have a very well-funded sheriff's department, and we provide a lot of services that go well beyond our borders, whether it's in mutual aid or in armor coverage or in hosting different things that have much broader statewide significance, in taking probationers and with CCA monies that are never sufficient to cover the need of a state that uses a ton of probation, whether it's in beds at the workhouse that are tied up with state prisoners that are in shorter term, that are toward the end of their sentences that therefore displaces a county resident who is out on the street. So, I mean, we'll get you whatever numbers you need and we'll bring them to the Capital Investment Committee. But, we're going to, the fact is, this technology is expensive. The building to house it needs special things to cool it in the summer and heat it in the winter. It needs flooring that can adapt to new technology that comes in. And my colleagues and I wrestle with the decisions of how much to spend, how much is our responsibility, how much do we think is fair for others to contribute. And, you know, that's why we're here today. But, we're making a list, and Ms. Westerman has the list, and we'll certainly get you the armor fee breakdown, the 911 fee breakdown, and, you know, how much we subsidy, or how much we pay. I mean, I don't guess we can't really call it subsidy. It's our system. But how much the share of which we take and put right on the property tax.
Representative Simonson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm just thinking back a few weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago, I originally had brought forth a bill that would have captured some of the remaining funds that were left in the 911 fund. I don't know if anybody remembers that or not, but as part of that process, I had several discussions with the department and was convinced that the monies that were remaining in that fund were needed for the department to proceed into the next generation 911 equipment upgrades, et cetera, et cetera. But to this point, my understanding of where Hennepin County is at, you folks already are on the armor system. You're fully functional, 800 megahertz. This project is more about moving the facility, the building, if you will. And I did hear you say that the tower was going to remain in its current site. So I'd be kind of surprised if there's any significant costs related to armor upgrades. You've already done that portion of the work. There may be some small pieces, but I'm assuming that a big portion of these monies is simply the structure itself and the new equipment within the structure, not necessarily upgrading to armor, which you've already done, which is what those 911 funds are for, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Representative Neuberger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a quick question. this facility that you're proposing, it's right there off Parker's Lake, correct?
Commissioner Opat?
Okay.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Representative, yes.
Okay, Mr. Chair. The tower that you're speaking about, is that the current one? Is that the one roughly off of 28th and Highway 169? Is that the tower you're talking about?
Commissioner Opat?
Chair, Representative, yes.
Okay. What is the longevity of that tower? Do you look... That's been there a long time. I know I drive by it. When will that need to be either replaced or renewed? What's the target date, the longevity for the tower itself?
Commissioner Opat. Captain Bear.
Mr. Chairman, it was replaced recently within the last several years, so it's got probably 20 years before it will need to be replaced or upgraded.
Representative Neuberger.
Thank you. And then I just wanted to clarify one quick question that Representative Kiefer had brought forward. The other contingency money is $2.5 million. That's built into as a cushion. What happens to that money if you don't spend it?
Commissioner Opat.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, if we don't spend it, then it will we won't issue debt for it, and it will, I guess at the end when you wrap it all up, it reduces the total project cost some. On the other hand, if we, if somehow we should encounter something where we have to spend beyond it, we would have to go into the county fund balance or issue more debt.
That's what I thank you.
Representative Neuberger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's what I thought. I just wanted to clarify on that. Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Representative Cornish.
Mr. Chair, what are we going to do with the bonding bills? I know we handle it different years. We either send them out recommend or not recommend, or sometimes we put a 1, 2, 3, 4 or whatever on them. What's your plan for what our committee is going to do?
Representative Cornish, since this is really, as I said earlier, we pulled the St. Paul project because we're going to do that. We're going to present that for next year's bonding bill, but since we are going to have a bonding bill this year and this is the only project that we heard, the motion would be to recommend that this bill pass this committee and be referred to the Capital Investment Committee. And since it's the only capital investment project we have this year, I don't know if ranking would or not. I guess your vote would rank it. So, but I mean, I think next year we will have more projects, and I think if you're getting to the issue that I think you and I share a common belief in is, are we going to have myriad training centers coming before this committee next year? Probably, and I think we'll need to have a frank discussion about that. This does not seem to fall into that category. So I don't know if you'd like more information. That's my intent, is to pass it out of this committee.
The reason I ask this is because some of the questions can't really be answered here today, it sounds like, and go over it in depth as we need to. But
Representative Cornish, is there additional information you need to?
Well, no, I mean, just some of the things we've been talking about. I was just wondering, it's not a huge deal, but.
Well, I'm sure if there are additional questions between now and the next committee, I mean, I think we'll have ample opportunity.
I have nothing against the project at all. It's just that I was just wondering about the ratings or how we're going to handle it. So.
Yeah. Okay. Any other questions? Representative Johnson, did you have a question? Okay.
Well, Mr. Chairman, maybe on that last
Representative Carlson.
Point about additional information, as Commissioner Opat indicated, the county's been taking good notes, and when the bill is for capital investment, we'll be sure to address the questions that came up here. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Representative Carlson, do you have some closing comments besides that?
Well, Mr. Chairman, having been a member of the Capital Investment Committee when we toured the site, as I indicated in my initial comments, the facility is very small. They can't adequately address a number of things in the current facility. It's just extremely crowded. No place to really park in a secure way, some of the very high-cost vehicles and so on that they maintain. If you were to tour it, you'd be left with the very strong impression that it needs to be upgraded, and the site is so small that you really can't accommodate a new modern facility at the current site. You can accommodate, as we said earlier, the tower, but the new facility would have to be located where there's more space, and that's out at Parker's Lake.
Okay, is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak in favor or in opposition to this bill? Okay, so Representative Simon will renew his motion that House File 557 pass and be referred to the Committee on Capital Investment. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed. That motion prevails. Nothing. No more business before the committee. We're adjourned.